I'm Mike Breen, Public Awareness Officer for the American Mathematical Society, and I'm talking with Martin D. Hope, who's at Rice University. He's the Simons Chair in Computational and Applied Mathematics and Earth Science at Rice, and we're talking about mantle convection. So, Martin, can you tell us a little bit about that subject and the math involved with understanding it?
Yeah, so my pleasure to say a few words about my research. So my primary research is in what we call inverse problems and, well, various components of mathematics involved in that, such as Michael-Ogden analysis, applied harmonic analysis, but also large-scale computations like numerical linear algebra. So I'm interested in developing inverse problems, looking at uniqueness, stability results, explicit reconstructions, and apply this to solid earth geophysics. And so we apply the ideas of inverse problems to seismology, to seismic data on very different scales. So we apply this to global Earth seismic data to probe, for example, the mantle, the upper mantle, the transition zone, the deep mantle, all the way up to the core mantle boundary. And while using information from seismic data, reconstructing the material properties, implicitly temperature dynamics of the mantle, we can form a picture to understand how mantle convection might actually work. I should immediately say that many, many open questions remain, but at least we get a better understanding by looking at it through seismic waves using techniques from inverse problems and in a simpler setting imaging. So components that we have studied on the solid earth geophysics side is we have looked at properties at the core mantle boundary, which is perhaps the most important boundary and, well, also thermal boundary layer that in part drives mantle convection. And we've been looking in great detail at phase transitions near the core mantle boundary and phase transitions in the transition zone. Phase transitions in the transition zone can be identified, can be imaged, if you wish, and their locations, their behavior, give us a lot of information on what happens to temperature. And so by looking at where phase transitions take place, we can, for example, induce where material is hot, which gives us a likely scenario for an upwelling or even a mantle plume. And hence, we can sort of begin to form a picture how mantle convection could look like. Now, the inverse problems and imaging also brings us all the way into the crust. Of course, we cannot think of convection, tectonics, all these components as individual components, but how they are coupled, in fact, coupled all the way to processes at the Earth's surface, or surface processes. And so we study also the crust, or the very near surface in some sense, by looking at various different kinds of data, surface wave data, active source data, ambient noise data.
You're talking about the crust and then the core mantle boundary. Can you give us an idea of roughly the miles involved, how far down that is?
Yeah, so the crust, of course, varies in thickness, but that is on the scale of tens of kilometers. And the core mantle boundary is essentially a little over 2,800 kilometers deep. It's very roughly, you know, halfway to the center of the Earth.
In your career, has there been a lot of progress?
Yes, so the mathematics that I work on, which is, well, mathematics around inverse problems, has helped greatly to look at parts of the mantle that are very hard to access. So, for example, we have worked on the problem underneath Hawaii. So Hawaii is obviously in the middle of the Pacific, and hence there are virtually no sensors in a vast area around Hawaii. And so what we do is we're looking at reflections of seismic waves from underneath. So we're looking at data very far away from Hawaii and essentially look from underneath what is happening in this case in the transition zone. So which requires, of course, a very delicate analysis of the inverse problem on the one hand, but also very careful data analysis. And core mantle boundary, it is a problem, again, of what can you reach with available data? Most of our seismic data come from continents, and obviously that limits our way to probe very deep structures in the Earth. So we have worked on probing very deep, and particularly probing where we can probe and recover local information.
And Hawaii mantle plumes figure in there, right?
Yeah, so the big question is what is happening there? There's obviously a hot upwelling. There's likely a plume under Hawaii. I think most people would argue about that, or I argue for that. And the question is, where is it? And so the interesting part is it is hard to detect where the hot material comes from underneath Hawaii all the way down to the core mantle boundary. And so various studies, including our own work, has been very much focused on whether actually the hot material comes from an area sort of different from under Hawaii and gets in the convection, in some sense, deflected in the transition zone before it goes up to Hawaii. And so inverse problems techniques give you the possibility to look into that and try to uncover where the hot material is exactly. What does the plume look like if there is a plume?
In your research, people could imagine there's a lot of data collected, and I think you are trying to do work in the analysis and understanding the big problem in it and marrying that with data, right?
Yeah, that's correct. The work I'm involved in is very much tying the analysis of inverse problems or imaging in a simple form to very large data sets, interconnecting these two data. So part of the work, part of the emerging work, is very much along the line. Can we reassess, can we work on techniques along the lines of machine learning? Can we apply these ideas or develop further ideas to actually work with data and connect them in a way that is more information content-based to inverse problems than trying to think of the data as being an approximation to an idealized mathematical framework? My field of research, inverse problems and applications in solid earth geophysics, leads to quite a range of fields of applied mathematics that play a role, again, to prove things that give us insight in uniqueness and stability. And in particular, these stability aspects, the conditional stability aspects, play a very big role in opportunities to design algorithms to actually do the reconstruction and design these algorithms in a way that they're sufficiently fast, because we work with very large-scale problems, and also that they're amenable to interact with data sets at the surface of the Earth.
When you were in grad school, were you always interested in inverse problems?
I was always interested in physics, in theoretical physics. And after my PhD, I got sidetracked and interested in particular in geophysics. And once I was interested in geophysics, inverse problems came right around the corner. And in fact, that sort of kept me involved in the subject ever since.
All right. Martin, is there anything you'd like to add?
Let me think about that for a moment.
But, sure.
No, I think the essence I have said.
So that's Martin D. Hope, the Simons Chair in Computational and Applied Mathematics and Earth Science at Rice University. And Martin, thanks very much for taking the time to talk with us.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.